and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. A shocking 180 from the Biden administration today. It says construction on the southern border wall will continue. CBS's Linda Kenyon's at the White House.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says yes, federal funds will go to the construction. But why?
These funds were appropriated in fiscal year 2019 under Republican leadership, and DHS is required by law to use the funds for appropriated purpose.
Does the president agree with the appropriated purpose?
Even when you asked him, does a border wall work? He said no. And he's been very consistent about that. We believe that we need a border technology that is modernized.
The president earlier said he repeatedly asked Congress to reappropriate the funds, but Republicans would not.
The United Nations has condemned Russia's missile attack today on a cafe and grocery store in a village in Ukraine. Spokesman Stefan Dujarric.
Attacks against civilians and civilian infrastructure are prohibited under international humanitarian law, and they must stop immediately.
More than 50 people there were killed. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is recovering from a scary attack. A shirtless man with a gun demanded a meeting yesterday with him at the Capitol, got arrested, posted bond, then went back to the Capitol with an assault-style rifle.
Yeah, I'm okay. You know, to the credit, the Capitol Police took control of the situation, and so it's over.
The man's in protective custody now at a nearby hospital. Longtime California Senator Dianne Feinstein's funeral starts in a few hours in the Bay Area, but will no longer be open to the public due to security threats. KCBS reporter Chris Ancarlo's there.
The front of City Hall has been transformed into a stage. Chairs line the street for the 1,500 guests expected to attend the memorial service for the senator. The speakers at this service include San Francisco Mayor London Breed, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, House Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, and Vice President Kamala Harris, along with recorded comments from President Biden.
Feinstein died last week at 90. A piece of history has a new home. CBS's Jim Krasula.
A statue of Christopher Columbus now sits in a park in Johnston, Rhode Island, 3 years after it was removed from a square in nearby Providence, where it was vandalized several times. Activists say celebrating Columbus ignores the rape, murder, and genocide endured by indigenous people during the European settlement of North America.
RSV is more dangerous to older Americans than COVID. Reporter Alexander Tin tells us why.
A new CDC study out today looking at data from hospitals through May 2023 suggests that when seniors do end up hospitalized for RSV, they are more likely to face severe disease compared to patients who had COVID or flu.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Imagine it's the last ride, but your symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, are taking you for a ride. What should you do? Keep managing your constipation with belly pain the same old way? Or try getting ahead of your symptoms by talking to your doctor about treating it with Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine what could relief from IBS-C mean for you. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
The morning show on WFHR. It's different.
You can choose your mood. You can choose to, well, you know what? I didn't get much sleep last night, but I'm still going to have a good day, or still
going to
give it all I can, or be in a good spirit when I do the morning show today.
That's what I do every day with you, too.
I was going to say, what, you mean my normal mood of what, mild contempt for everyone around me? Okay, yeah, that's usually what I'm doing, yeah.
Sarcasm extraordinaire.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. right here on Locally Grown Radio.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Friday, October 6th. The annual Legislative Breakfast of the North Central Region Highway Commissioners will be held at 8:15 a.m. at the Holiday Inn Hotel and Convention Center in Stevens Point. The South Central Library System Board of Trustees will meet at 10 a.m. in Madison. In Adams County, the Administrative and Finance Committee will meet from 9 a.m. to 11 at the Adams County Courthouse in County Boardroom A230. The Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's main stage season opener premieres tomorrow. You won't want to miss Blithe Spirit, a clever and haunting comedy with a star-studded cast. You can purchase tickets now at wrctheater.org or by calling the box office at 715-421-0435. Shows are October 6th and 7th at 7 p.m., then October 12th through the 14th, with shows at 7 and a 2 p.m. matinee on Saturday. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 44. West winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 52. Lows level off around 36. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Low 50s Saturday and Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 67.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this October 5th, 2023. Have your host, James Jay, behind the mic. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in our friend Laura Huber, 4-H educator, UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Right now, in studio with us, like she didn't even have to leave from this morning. Play
just
along.
Just hanging out all day.
Just play along, everybody. Good afternoon to you, Terry.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for being here. CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns, here to talk all things United Way of Southwood and Adams County. And we got a lot to cover, Terry. It's a busy time of year for you guys. I don't know if you would say this is the busiest time of year, but it's pretty close.
You know, I think it is. Just the amount of community engagement that we have the opportunity to do right now. You know, other parts of the year, we have a lot of events and we have, you know, coalition meetings and those things going on. But right now is really when we're getting a lot of FaceTime mm-hmm. with many members of the community that we don't see otherwise. And it's purely because this is when we're doing fundraising. I mean, that's the reality. We do a lot of great work throughout the entire year. There's a ton of impact, you know, lives that are touched and impacted by the funds that we raise. But the reality is, you know, fall for us is about the money, right? Yeah. It's about individuals in our community, companies in our community, fundraising and events that are bringing dollars to United Way to make an impact, you know, right here in our community. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's truly focused on the donor and what that means for the well-being of our community.
One of our early conversations we had, especially when talking about the United Way, you were very clear and wanted to be very transparent about the funds and where these things go and that. And it's something that I thought you were just doing with me. And then I realized, oh, wait, no. See, this is how you handle things at the United Way.
Yeah, that's just the drill all the time.
So transparent. And I think nowadays there's a couple things people want to do with their dollar. I'm just using a dollar as an example. They want to get 100 pennies out of that dollar. They want to get everything they can out of that dollar. They want to get more bang for their buck, if you will. And they want to know where all those pennies are going. They want to know that if I'm giving money to this cause, that the at least the majority of it is going to that cause. You and I met at around a time when there was a lot of those kind of scams going on and everything. A lot of people were, you know, getting hoodwinked in that. Well, the United Way makes both of those things incredibly clear to you from day one. It is all about making every one of those 100 pennies count and putting them in the funds that where they're needed the most, with some of the things in our society that aren't so needed. But it's also, where do you want to put it? Do you want to put it here? Do you want to put it there? Like, it's so transparent and it's so bang for your buck, because I'm not just helping this cause. I'm putting it in, and if I don't choose a specific area or a specific cause, that dollar gets spread out to all these different causes. So I know I'm impacting young children, young literacy. I'm helping with the hunger situation, et cetera, et cetera. It's a really unique opportunity for the volunteer out there, for the person that wants to give back and put into their community.
Absolutely. It's exactly what you said, right? It's the best bang for your buck, mm-hmm. so to speak. It is also the greatest opportunity to have your donation spread out into areas of interest. And then also, you know, noteworthy is the accountability that we put on programs that we help to fund, in addition to the programs that we offer ourselves, you know, that part of our staff offers. And the reality of United Way is that your dollar stays in the community too. Mm-hmm. You know, that I think that's just really important, that whatever you invest is literally actually staying in the even the specific zip code that you might choose or whatever geographic area.
One thing I don't think we've really touched on before is the accountability part you mentioned there. I think that is an important part. It shows the how much you guys mean what you say. I don't have a lot of money and I put, you know, $10 into this particular cause. And I know from you guys and the transparency that that money's going, that whole $10 is going to that company. But then are they using it properly? Are they using it to do the things that we're hoping they do? I'd gather to think that 9 out of 10, if not 9.9 out of 10 nonprofits are doing that said thing. But it doesn't hurt to have some accountability there, right there, to keep that in check. I will say, just as a note from myself and from what I have seen as a board member of the Family Center, that is encouraged, that is welcomed, that is something that is never shied from, and it's just another part of the conversation. Hey, the United Way helps us out a lot. This is what they ask, and we do that. It's not a big deal. It's not. But I do think that it's cool for the person who is donating money. Again, going back to what we were saying before. People want to know that if I'm going to put this $5 into this, that it's going into this. And I think that's a really unique part of this.
Yeah, I think it is great that, you know, you don't have to do your own homework. You can. I mean, of course you can, but you don't have to. And we also, I mean, we have great partners, right? Like, I mean, we really have fabulous agencies in this community that are offering programs that are having a very high level of impact. But some of the ways that we partner and work together is, you know, we have a written funding application that an agency will write when they're asking for program funding. We visit all the programs that we fund. And when I say we, there's always a staff component, but then there's also a volunteer component, right? So members of the community, people who serve on our review panel, people who serve on our board that participate in these visits. And then as part of the funding process, there's also a opportunity for a face-to-face engagement, right? So they come and can do a presentation in whatever way is meaningful to them. I mean, they could use audiovisual if they wanted to. It's certainly not required. We kind of just prefer a conversation. But they'll come before the panel and then the panel can ask them questions and say, you know, hey, what's working well? What are the challenges? You know, what's not so great? Where can we help, you know, maybe form some partnerships and some alignments? How can we help with, you know, maybe troubleshooting or helping to overcome an obstacle? And then also an opportunity to say, hey, what you're doing is amazing. This is great work. Yeah. So we have 30 programs that we help will be helping to fund in 2024. So the dollars we're raising now in the fall of 23 will help to fund those programs. We also have many programs and initiatives that are handled by United Way staff directly. So when you think about the 211 program, which is a 24/7 resource and referral line, 211 is funded by United Way, the Volunteer Center. This is, you know, we talk about Day of Caring and what's happening with that coming up later this month. That is provided and put in place by the Volunteer Center. And then lots of really cool initiatives. Great book giveaway. Mm-hmm. We have United We Can, the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, which is a primary focus of our Women United. So there are so many. There's 30 programs we help fund, 10 initiatives, you know, many coalitions. So it's a wide... it's a pretty wide net of service in the community, but our plan for community well-being focuses on education, and that's in two areas. So early years, thinking about kids from when they're born until they start school. We have youth success, which is, you know, thinking about what's offered to kids outside of the school day. You know, what opportunities for enrichment are there for kids? And then financial stability and thinking about how community members can be much more successful when they move from maybe a debt mindset to a mindset of being able to maybe even save some money, you know, and be thinking past today with the resources that they have. Health. Emergency food and shelter. So there is a lot going on, and there's really something for everyone, right? So when you think about if you need a service, and then you also think about it from the donor standpoint, there could be, as you indicated before, a particular area of interest. So you could say, you know what? I'm all about hunger, right? Like I am focused on food. We can do that. And we have to fund 6 different food programs. So your dollar can impact all of those and all ages, all the way to, again, just a general donation to United Way, and then you impact every single one of those programs, and it gets you in our sweepstakes.
Yes, yes, and we should mention those sweepstakes.
Yeah, so that's really cool. If you make a donation of $52, so $1 a week, you qualify for our sweepstakes. And if you are already a donor of $52 a week or more, if you increase by 26, you get another entry. So that's fun. And we give away five $1,000 cash prizes. Those prizes are sponsored. I think that that's a really, really important point to get across. It is not campaign dollars. So if James gives $1,000, we're not taking his $1,000 and giving it away.
Right.
These are sponsored by local companies who understand the need and the value of us to grow our donor base, increase the number of donors, but then also to see current donors increase their donation. And we give away these five $1,000 cash prizes, and it's really fun because we do it the week before Christmas. Yeah. You know, yeah. What could be better?
So awesome. Be sure to look into that. Give it a chance, everybody, and be a part of those sweepstakes. Terry, if there's I don't like to pry when it comes to this next subject, I do want to ask, because I know that there are some things that you and I are very common and very similar about. We're both pretty relentless people when it comes to something we care about in our jobs, and you are relentless about how much you care about this area and how much you're trying to help these individual causes and individuals out there in general. You probably want to do more at the United Way. There's probably projects or things that the community has reached out to you about, or that you yourself have seen needs of, but unable to maybe do more because of funds. If we are able to get a record number in donations, or if we're able to hit the mark on donations, do you think that that's a possibility going forward that you guys might even be able to do more? And that's saying something, because your plate is full. I don't know how you guys pull off half of what you do, but I'm curious, because I know how you care about things, and you're not the type that stands pat. Like, okay, we're taking care of all this, we're good. Nah, not the Terry I know, not the one I look up to. I imagine that there are other projects and other things you've thought about, or you and your staff have, or the community has brought to you.
Absolutely. So, we have had that where, okay, if we have if we raise $100,000 more than what we plan, what would we do?
Interesting. Okay.
Or 50,000 more, would we do? So, there's a few different facets to that. There is new programming that I think that there would be value to United Way helping to support, or for us to bring to the community. There's also another angle, is that when agencies in the community ask for funding for a specific program, we are rarely able to fund all of those at their request.
Yeah.
Right now, sometimes we get exorbitant requests. Sometimes we're like, well, we're funding you now at, $15,000, and now you want 60, but you're going to serve the same number of people. And we understand that, costs have increased. They've increased for everyone, but including the donor. So, we understand that facet as well. So I think there would probably be a nice blend of, what agencies could we help? Could we boost up their program funding a little bit so that more individuals could be served? And then what is a new initiative or a new program that we could bring to the community? The other side of that conversation that can be probably much more difficult is what if we had to let go of something, what would we let go of? Now, of course, we are a nonprofit, but like any business, right? You have to evaluate regularly say, okay, what's run its course? What can we say? We've done this for 15 years and it's been great, but it's just time to let it go.
Yeah.
So we do that, and we have those hard conversations, but I think what's really difficult is when it's just money driven.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if we were to have a significant shortfall, what would that mean? What would the impact look like? And so we might have that conversation, but we never want that to come to fruition, of course. And so that's why we're feverishly out there, trying to raise funds to at a minimum raise what we raised last year. And currently we're at about 25%. Of our campaign, which is right in line with where we normally are at the beginning of October. There's a lot of companies that are running. Our mailings have gone out, but maybe people haven't sent them back, or it's kind of on that consideration pile. Or if it's like in my house, it's just on the corner of the island where all the other mail is. Yeah. Get through that mail.
Yes.
But I think that our goal is to always get to at least the last year number. And if we can have a little surplus, you know, that would be fabulous. Mm-hmm. We have a phenomenal campaign chair this year, Brian DeWitt from Urkel Worldwide, and he is doing a great job, you know, coming out with me, talking to members of the community and saying, here's why my family gives, here's why I believe in United Way. I want you to feel the same about United Way. And you know, I think he's very impactful and resonates with a lot of people, and he's been doing just a phenomenal job. Another opportunity that we have, though, James, this year is we applied for a Legacy Foundation grant. Yes, yeah. And we were awarded that grant in the amount of $500,000. Mm-hmm. And that is set up as, you know, kind of a campaign match, so to speak. And so what we raise for our general campaign, mm-hmm. which stays the same, the match dollars don't go in there. So we still need that. And I don't want people to think, oh, they've got this grant coming in. Right. We don't. Why do we need to give?
That's a good point.
Well, because it's going to a different spot. And where that's going is into our endowment fund. In the 90s, we had some really, really forward-thinking board members and committee members that said, you know, if our United Way had a strong endowment, we could use the income and earnings off of that, protect the principal, use the income and earnings to offset any fundraising and overhead costs that we might have. And so a drive was done, dollars were raised, that money was invested, and what we asked the Legacy Foundation for was money to put into that endowment so that we can, again, invest it, protect the principal, and use the income and earnings to help offset any costs that we have. And so right now, when we think about, you know, you hear talk about overhead or administrative costs or that kind of thing. Right now, our endowment earnings are covering about 30-35% of those costs. But this additional $500,000 will get us closer to, you know, 50-55%. And so we continue to build, and then we can get, you know, more impact out into the community. So, you know, I think we just really have some very fortunate opportunities in this campaign that we want to maximize.
We got a lot of football fans out there and loving this part of this time of year. It's football season. We love to root for our home teams. Here in Wisconsin, one of the biggest fan bases in the world of any sports team is the Green Bay Packers, of course, and how strong the fan base is there. When it comes to being a fan of that team, more power to you, more power to anybody that roots for their home team. But I cannot think of a better way to root for your home team than your local United Way. That is a real home team. Now, nothing against other sports teams. A lot of our sports teams in this state in particular, they put into their communities. I know the Bucks, how much they put in the Milwaukee area, Green Bay. It's legendary what they do in that area. All of this. But I stand on this sentence. Nobody does more for their community. Nobody puts into the community more as a team than the United Way. They impact this state more than any sports franchise, the Badgers, anybody. And you can look at the stats to show that. I got the stats to back that up. You want to support your local team, support your local United Way. Just like you wear your Packer colors and Brewer colors and all that, it's the same thing with your United Way. Support them just like you would support those other teams and be a part of this campaign season. Help local, buy local, support local. Some of the ways you can do that, Terry, are coming up. We got one of them happening tomorrow.
Absolutely. So it is our community-wide Denim Day. This has been going on for many, many years. And we understand that, you know, dress codes have evolved and changed in workplaces. Yeah. But the idea when it was established was that people could dress down for the day by making a $5 donation. And you know, you hit on each year we kind of have a different theme. Yeah. And this year, you know, we did go with a sports team, support your hometown, support your home team. And it's been really fun. And we've really enjoyed it. And so we've seen different companies saying, you know, hey, wear jeans and your favorite jersey. Could be any jersey. Or support your favorite team. And so it's fun because you see people wearing like their kids' sport, you know what I mean? Yeah, like maybe their high school team, all the way up into professional sports. But that's one way to do it. But we have, you know, promoted it as tomorrow, October 6th, as Community-Wide Denim Day. Make a $5 donation to United Way. Wear your jeans intentionally. Maybe you have some, you know, special jeans.
Yeah.
Bell bottoms.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Get your wide legs out.
Oh, they're some corduroys.
They're coming back.
Yeah, the bell bottoms.
Maybe some bib overalls. I don't know. But, you know, get your denim out. You know, pull out $5 intentionally and get it to United Way. And so it's just a fun way to draw awareness and really engage people around the reminder of this being campaign time.
if you are hearing about this kind of late and you're like, oh, I wish I'd have known about that before, my business and I could have set something up, there's always next year.
Or
there's,
do it a different day. Do it next Friday. I mean, you know, we just put the seed out there. But what we want you to do, though, is send us your pictures.
Yeah.
You can be individuals. You can be a workplace. You could just be an organization. But we'd love to see those and be able to share those on our social media and having people, you know, really helping get behind the spirit of hometown support.
Yeah. And speaking of the spirit of hometown support and spirit in general, one of my literal favorite days of the year. I don't know if me saying this, it sounds corny or not. If you guys believe me, I don't say anything I don't mean. I genuinely feel this. The Day of Caring Day is one of my favorite days of the year. This town is so great about the way that they support these kind of issues, these kind of things. And I've never seen anything like it in a community before. I've lived in a lot of places and a lot of communities, and I've never seen anything like the support and the amount of strangers helping strangers that happens on Day of Caring. Something as simple as having a nice lawn or having not to worry about raking your lawn or something may not seem like a big deal to some out there, but if you're an individual that cannot do that, it's huge, and it feels like an eyesore. And, you know, your other neighbors have their stuff all done, and you don't, and you know that you physically can't get out there to do it or something. That ain't right. I mean, it's a rough feeling.
It's just a stress you don't need.
Yeah. And so while the United Way lifts mountains sometimes with some of the work you guys do to help certain causes, this one may not seem like the biggest thing to people, but it is. And I like that the community gets that. I like that our people get that. And we see droves of people out. You drive around Rapids here coming up on October 21st, and you are going to see strangers helping strangers. You're going to see all these shirts and have people having fun. But we want more people to be a part of this. We're still looking for lawns that can be raked. And we're, of course, looking for volunteers.
Absolutely. So tomorrow is the deadline if you need your yard raked. And that's a pretty hard and fast deadline because there's a lot of planning and logistics that go into the next 2 weeks to make sure that all of those yards get covered. So if you are elderly or disabled, do not have the ability, physical or financial, to get your yard taken care of for winter, get on our list. And you do that by calling 211 between the hours of 8 and 5 today or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, 5 o'clock is the cutoff. So we encourage you, if you are not already, to do that. We have about 80 yards registered right now. There is some room to add a few more yet. So if you have that need, please do that part. The other aspect of this is, yes, we need the volunteers to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fun day. I'll guarantee nice weather.
Yeah, nice. Nicely done.
I mean, it has rained before, but we'll call it nice for that day.
Yeah.
So we start out the day, Grand Rapids Lions Club, with a hot breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So you can come on out, you know, and there's just something special about that camaraderie too. You know, you're in a whole room full of people who are getting out there. So that is from 8 to 9 on the 21st, 9 o'clock. We send you out with your raking assignments and you will get, you know, depending upon the size of your group, you know, maybe 1 yard, 2 yards, maybe three. If you have, you know, sometimes we'll have groups that are 30 people. And so we'll get you out to rake and clean up the yards. The homeowner will provide the bags. And depending upon the municipality that they're part of, sometimes, you know, leaves get raked to the curb. Sometimes they have to be bagged, whatever the case would be. So the homeowner will provide that part. You as the raker will need to have your own rake. And we get this question a lot. Are leaf blowers okay? Absolutely, blowers are okay.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, if you've got one, if you've got that equipment that can help, yes, that's totally fine. So we
it would be funny if you said no. It would just for
absolutely
no
not. No way. <Mm-mm.
laughs> No, they're very welcome. Oh, that's cool.
So, but I mean, it is a fair question. It is funny because that question does come up. So, whatever you use, how about this? Whatever you use to take care of your own yard, you know, I don't know that you should bring a mower bagger like that kind of thing to someone else's yard, but you know, bring your own rake, bring your own gloves if you're wearing gloves while you rake, that kind of thing. Dress for the weather. Hot or cold or wet or, I mean, this is a rain or shine event. And our goal is that everybody's done by noon, right? Yeah. So, like, we get this, we come together, we celebrate, we get all this hard work done, and then we celebrate again, right? Like, spend the afternoon, then treat yourself. Do something awesome.
If you want to sit back and watch some college football, like I will,
you want to go get some ice cream. I mean, you know, whatever it is that you that you want to do. But to give that, you know, 3 or 4 hours that day, you have no idea. I mean, we can measure, right? We can measure how many people, how many yards, who helped us get t-shirts. You know, there's quantifiable things that we can measure. What we can't measure is the joy that we bring to the other, you know, to the volunteer groups and to those homeowners.
I got to do this 1 year or a couple of years. 1 year I missed. You had an orange shirt and I missed out on that orange one. It's my favorite color. And I can't believe I missed out on that. But don't miss out, everybody.
In about 12 years, it might circle back.
Yeah, see, I'll come back. I got to rake a lawn for an individual. It was a remarkable situation, one I'll never forget. He was disabled, and we got talking, and it turns out as he opened up his garage, he's from Chicago, and from not too far away from where my family and I are from. We're White Sox fans. I had no idea. Just we caught up like crazy. And then if that wasn't enough, as I'm raking, right next door to this gentleman is Gary, one of our longtime listeners on the radio station here, who I've only gotten to run into once or twice. I got to meet his wife. It was a wonderful moment that if I'm lucky to live to 100, I will never forget that day. I've still got the hat the guy gave me. I mean, it was such a wonderful moment. And I got to be a part of that just for volunteering.
And it cost you nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
I mean, cost me none. 3 hours.
Tops. Yeah, yeah. It was such a great moment. Encourage you to be a part of this. Terry, if people want to find out more or be a part of any of these things we have talked about today, how can they do that?
Visit us at uwswac.org or certainly give us a call at 715-421-0390. And we encourage you to volunteer your time and make a donation to make this campaign successful.
Mm-hmm. Terry, thank you not only for hanging out with us right now, but this morning and dropping in and putting up with me like you do. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here on WFHR, Locally Grown Radio.
Locally Grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The skeletal remains found in the Wisconsin River near Port Edwards in July of 2022 have been identified. The Wood County Sheriff Department's investigation has continued, with more remains being recovered from that time through July of 2023. A lab in Texas was able to make a DNA match connected to Paul I. Christian. He was known to be from the Waupaca area and would have been 49 years old as of this year. Deputies met with Christian's family and they confirmed he has not been seen in several years. Police do not know why Paul would have been in Wood County. If you have information as to why he was in Wisconsin Rapids or the Port Edwards area from 2016 to 2022, the Wood County Sheriff's Department would like to know about it. You can contact them at 715-421-8700. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 44. West winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 52. Lows level off around 36. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Low 50s Saturday and Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 67.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this October 5th, 2023. Have your host, James J. here, and I am joined by our great friend, Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Laura, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Happy 4-H week, James.
Happy 4-H week. This is exciting. Laura and I were talking in our pregame a little bit that it's just this kind of a coincidence that you guys got scheduled to come in this week, but a happy coincidence.
Absolutely. Like, what better time?
Yeah.
It's the beginning of the year, and you know what? It's an official thing. It is National 4-H Week. This is a time to celebrate. It's a time to promote. It's a time to invite others to kind of participate and you know, learn the benefits and experience the benefits that 4-H has to offer.
I'd like to, if you don't mind, Laura, and speaking of all the things going on, there's a lot to cover for 4-H this segment, but I do want to touch on National 4-H Week just a little bit. The importance of it, the attention that it brings to such a great organization, we can get into a little of that if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure. So some people don't realize, but 4-H is actually a program that is administered through the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And why, right? Why would the U.S. government be getting into some sort of a youth development program? Well, you know what? It's because in the long run, it builds stronger communities. It makes young people ready to be, you know, those leaders in the communities, in the country that we need in the future.
If I can, one thing that has always stood out to me about this, even as a city boy growing up in Chicago and everything, I will say, when hearing about 4-H and that, we hear all the time, since we were kids, the backbone of our country is our ag industry. The backbone of our country is our, this is the government actually putting some money, their money where their mouth is. This is not just saying a phrase like that, but trying to create future farmers, trying to create future people that care about the ag industry.
Yeah.
And I think of that too when it comes to this.
Absolutely. And it's so much more than ag, right?
But
a piece of it is, you know what, when we learn new things, how do we get people to try those new things, you know, and to kind of advance. And that was the heart of 4-H, right? When we learned maybe some new methods for growing corn. And we learned some ways to raise animals with less input and higher meat quality and things like that. But how do we get people to try it? It's really hard sometimes to get us old souls to try the new things. But to share that information with young people and to get them excited to do and to be, that's the heart and soul of it. And so we discovered that over 100 years ago. 4-H has been active in the United States of America since, I think it's 114 years now.
120 years. That's amazing. I didn't know that. I knew it was a long time. I didn't know 120 years. Yeah. That's impressive.
So it's working, right? And it's doing great things for us. And that's why we continue to invest in our young people and in programs like 4-H. And so I think it's really cool. I shared with you the official proclamation from USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack, just because it's one of those, if you've ever read a proclamation, it's a lot of whereas this and kind of weird official language. But really what it gets down to is that 4-H has a real impact, not only on the kids who are participating in it right now, but it has an impact on families. It has an impact on volunteers, and it benefits our whole country.
Yeah.
So
there's not a lot of organizations or things that can do that. 4-H has been doing it and doing it for 120 years.
Yeah.
And you guys got a theme for this year's celebration, this year's week.
Yeah. Can I tell you, I always have a hard time with this. I'm like, is it I heart 4-H or is it I love 4-H? What do you say when there's that heart symbol in the middle?
I know. I love working with you. I have the same boat. I was looking at it. I'm like, do I say I heart 4-H or do I let her say it first and see what she says?
I say, I don't know. Let's say both.
I like both. I like both. And you can't go wrong. Either way, I heart 4-H. I love 4-H. However you want to word it, that is the theme right now. And spreading the word about this, too. If you've got a kid out there that you're wondering, maybe they might be interested in this, look into it. We encourage you to. If you are, your kids are older and they're out of the house and everything, there are still opportunities for you to impact the 4-H, whether it is donations or it is maybe volunteering yourself. And I always like to talk about this, too, with you, Laura, because you and I are in a similar boat when it comes to this. We learned and came to 4-H a little later in life. We didn't grow up as kids with it. So for people like us and to fellow adults out there like that, we get how much we missed out on something.
Absolutely.
You know, I love my mom and dad, wouldn't train for anything in the world. But I do feel like, I would have loved to have been a part of 4-H. That would have been, first off, would have kept me out of a lot of trouble, be honest with you all. But more importantly, I would have learned and gained appreciation for our country so much more, not just our ag industry, like you hit on earlier, but just all the things that 4-H impacts. And I know that you felt a little similar to this too, but you can be a part of this. You can raise attention to these things at some of the events we're going to tell you about. We can get into some of those now.
And can I tell you that yesterday, James, I got an email from somebody saying, hey, you know, I've been raising horses all my life. My kids are young. They're not 4-H age yet. But is there a way for me to get back in? And it's yes, it's that giving back. And I do not speak horse, so I am so thankful for when I get messages from somebody, because you know what? I don't have the skills, the knowledge, or whatever else to help a young person kind of discover that love and that wow and that everything in the horse world. So thank goodness that there are volunteers, adults willing to step forward and say, hey, you know what? I've got some skills and you know what? I would love to share them with the next generation. Yeah. Is that possible for me? And I'm going to say yes. And let me tell you how.
Yeah. I encourage you to reach out to Laura with those things. Although I will say, Laura, it's real easy to talk horse. You just put peanut butter in your mouth.
Yeah, there you go.
You can do that. You talk like a horse. You don't. We have some great events coming up. And again, just real quickly, a reminder, the National 4-H Week goes on this whole week. So be sure to spread the word and find out more. And look up that proclamation if you get a chance. Yeah. It is a really well-worded one. I agree with you on that. These aren't always the easiest to read or they could be a little lame sometimes or whatever. This is really well done. A nice job by them.
So if I may, let's make it easy. If you go out to the Wood County 4-H Facebook page. Mm. This one's on there for you. Okay. But today I posted this amazing 7-minute video that was put together with beautiful black and white photographs with young people and volunteers in 4-H a few years ago by a group called the Peace of A Piece of My Mind, PEACE. And so if you want to see about the impact that 4-H has on number one, our young people, but number two, on our communities, just go over to that Facebook and watch that video. It's out on YouTube. It's easiest to find on our Facebook page. But this is the very beginning of the 4-H year. It kind of mimics the school year. We don't mimic the calendar year. And so right now is the best time to get involved. So if you wonder about maybe as an adult or the young people in your life, now is the time to join. They can join any time of year, but to make sure you don't miss out on anything, like join now.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thank you for mentioning that. Let's tell them what we have coming up, because we got some really fun things coming up with the 4-H.
Yeah, so 4-H happens on multiple levels. A lot of people know that it happens at the club level. And so each individual club has its own personality. They have specific things that their volunteers are interested in and teaching their kids. Every year it might change a little bit based on what their young people are interested in doing. So kids, that's the first place that they get involved there at the club level. But then we offer things at the county level, because sometimes it's really cool to meet more kids. That's one of the things that 4-H'ers love best, is meeting new people and making new friends. So one of the first things we have to offer to celebrate National 4-H Week on Sunday, we're having a cornhole tournament.
Ooh, nice.
You know, so there's a little bit of friendly competition happening. Yeah. There's no high skills. There's no, you know, weeks of training or anything else like that. So it's just an end of the week celebration that we're going to be having at Northwood County Park. So why not, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be a fun one. Oh, that's a really good one.
But what I really love about the cornhole tournament, I have to say, is that I didn't plan one bit of it. Not one, because young people have a ton of skills. And so we had some teen leaders who came up, number one, with the idea in the first place, but number two, then going through and saying, like, when should we do it? Where can we have it? All of those sorts of things. So that's what 4-H is all about.
Speaking with Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension. Laura, got some really cool events coming up always with you, with 4-H, but you got a really unique one happening right around the corner.
I'm so excited. This is something brand new. So New Visions Art Gallery is on the first floor of the Marshfield Clinic in the Marshfield Center on Oak. And for the first time, Wood County 4-H youth and their artwork is going to be on exhibit. We're going to have our youth exhibiting from October 23rd is the official opening, all the way through January 5th. And let me tell you, this one is a challenging one. We were talking about, you know, adults bringing things to the table, their skills and such. I am not an artist.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I forgot about this. Yeah.
Sorry. And so the opportunity, like, this opportunity has really challenged me to change what I've offered on a countywide basis to make sure that we have young people who were prepared, right? Gaining the skills. Yeah. I don't want to always be resting on, you know, what the schools do or, you know, that kind of stuff. I wanted to make sure that we had some educational programming to lead right into this. So,
and this is,
I'm so excited. It is the first.
It's pretty cool.
A new partnership, you know, the New Visions Gallery is open anytime that that clinic building is open. So mainly Monday through Fridays, I think from 8 until 4 o'clock or 4:30. So, you know, if you have an appointment up at the clinic, please wander in and check out some amazing artwork.
I take my dad up there for appointments from time to time, and I've been eyeballing this. Now I'm getting over there. I already thought I was going to. I definitely got to check this out. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
so the kids get excited about showing their stuff at the fair.
Yeah.
But this is a whole nother level.
Can't even imagine.
Like, all of a sudden, you don't just get to post your stuff on a piece of poster board and throw it up. It's, no, you know, we're leveling up here, so.
I think a lot of us can relate to that in a little way, maybe, if you ever had something of yours put up or something. Or think about when I think almost all of us had our parent put something on a refrigerator.
Sure.
It's that times 1,000. Like, it's, right? It feels really cool. It's really fun for the kids. And it means even more if we come and check them out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Show them some support.
Yeah. Oh, when is this going out? What are the dates for this again?
So officially it opens on October 23rd, and everything will be up until January 5th.
Oh, we got some time then to check it out. Okay.
And ours, actually, it's the New Visions Gallery has finally gotten clearance to do opening receptions again, which they had to kind of set aside through COVID. Yeah. So if you want to be there, you know, for the opening reception, that's Friday, October 20th from 4 to 6.
Very cool. So. Very cool. Laura, I know with all the things going on with the 4-H, that there's stuff that we don't always get a chance to cover. Mm-hmm. Do you mind if we highlight, like, for a 4-H, Wood County 4-H-er, like, do some highlights of that?
Absolutely.
So, like, what are some of the highlights to you, like, right off the top of your head when it comes to that?
So, first of all, I want to say that a Wood County 4-H-er is anywhere from kindergarten through 13th grade. Mm. What is 13th grade? It's that year after high school, whether they go on to college or tech school or they go into the work world. We're there for them for that extra year, if you will.
Yeah.
And why would somebody choose to stay in this program that they were in when they were in, you know, kindergarten? Mm-hmm. And it's really because we have some events every year that really just get kids excited. The first one that we're talking about is Project Discovery Day. Mm. And this is a place where I do my best with volunteers to offer new opportunities. If you don't have a parent who's a woodworker, how do you get exposed? How do you start learning about that? Or if you don't have somebody close to you that's really good with houseplants or something, you know, like, how do you? So Project Discovery Day, that's just a chance for kids to get hands-on. Everything in 4-H is hands-on, right? Mm-hmm. We're not lecturing. We want kids to actually be experiencing. And that's a really cool way just to try out some new things. Yeah. And so that's one of the things that gets kids excited. And another one is Creative Arts Day.
Yeah.
So
it's a great showcase.
And what's really exciting for me is as I left the office today, support staff Wendy was working on scheduling the facility. And I think we're using Rams this year.
Oh, cool.
So it'll be right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Breaking news.
That's really breaking. I would love breaking news around here. But that is really cool. Mm-hmm. For one, great place to have it and great people over there and everything. But that stage that they have there is the stage in this whole area that I wish I could have performed on more than any other. I've always wanted to perform on that stage. The acoustics are great. Yeah. It's so big. Well, great auditorium. Oh, this is really cool.
Yeah, and that stage is really one of the things that drew us there because the young people are going to be putting on one-act plays. They'll be putting on skits. They'll be doing vocal or instrumental performances. Like, it's really just a great showcase of, you know, many arts.
Yeah, so. And a great opportunity for us as a community to support these kids and support the 4-H as well when that comes up.
Absolutely.
There's the camps. I mean, we got to talk about the camps.
Yeah. Mm. And now is a really good time to highlight. Camp is expensive. Mm-hmm. And this year, can I say that the Encourage Foundation, I mean, holy buckets, did they just make huge impacts for us this year by supporting the bus. And then another anonymous donor gave funds for additional camperships and I can't even
That's
say
beautiful.
Like, things are expensive. And if you've never looked at the Alice report that the United Way puts out, I really encourage you to do so, because about a third of families in our area are right there at the cusp. You know, they are working, but they don't have the income to support all of the extras that you might hope that their kids can do. And with support from the Encourage Foundation, we were able to keep costs low, keep things affordable, and give kids the opportunity to camp is just this magical environment where kids can be themselves. They can try new things. They make new friends. They're in a world that's totally different from home. And so the way that it helps build confidence and helps build independence is just an incredible thing to watch. It's one of my favorite things to be involved in every year, just because from year to year, the growth I get to see happen for in each young person, right? That's an internal thing. I'm just creating the opportunity, the space for it to happen.
If I can just add, piggybacking on that, I earlier I was talking about how I wish I could have been a part of 4-H, some of these things. I wasn't going to say this, but as a kid, even when it came to certain organizations, I couldn't because we didn't have the money. Just being blunt and honest with you and everybody out there, we weren't just able to think that that won't happen to certain kids, that that doesn't happen as much anymore, maybe, is fantastic. But to think that it still happens at all is still something that I think needs attention. And I appreciate you bringing this topic up and so much of what the 4-H does to work with people when it comes to the clubs and different things that you have and trying to have scholarships available for kids. And certainly organizations like Encourage going above and beyond to really make sure that this is an investment. It's for fun, and we want kids to enjoy themselves and have great childhoods and everything. Yes, 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 all of the above.
Yeah.
It can also be an investment in the greatest thing we can invest in, the future. And that's what we're doing. Everything that Laura just told you that a kid gets from just camp, let's just look at camp in general, learning new friends, learning social skills, learning how to talk to people, learning how to work with strangers, confidence building. I can keep going down the list.
Yep.
And all of these things benefit us, all of us. Just like you pay taxes for things, you're paying this and you're adding to our future. You are making our future that much stronger by helping these kids.
Absolutely. And the other piece that I want to say about camp and 4-H is I put on 4-H camp. That's what I call it. It's not limited to current 4-H members, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If there are families, and one of the examples that I have often, right, is families who might be broken up. And a child might be living in one place, you know, with mom or dad for most of the year, but then spends the summer here with the other parent or with grandparents or whatever. Those kids can enroll and come to 4-H camp with
That's
us
really
and
cool.
everything, too, because and so I just want everybody to know that when we're talking here and we're talking about 4-H'ers, those kids who come to camp, whether or not they've been in 4-H in the past, it doesn't matter. When they come to camp with us, they become 4-H'ers. We welcome them into the fold and we want them to get everything out of the camp experience that somebody who might have, they might be a third or fourth generation 4-H'er, which means their parents and their grandparents were a part of the program. That's not a requirement here, not by any means.
Yeah.
I fully support any youth development programs, whether it be 4-H, Scouts, Boys and Girls Club, any of those things, because just like you said, investing in our kids in any of these programs is investing in our future.
Right on. There is also something for kids, along with all of this, the travel experiences, the travel opportunities and everything. I think one of my favorite parts of being my whole schooling experience was being in debate and being able to travel all over this state and go into towns that I'd never heard of or didn't know of and that kind of thing. I know that's a big part of what we'll enjoy about our after school activities or school itself. And that's just something that's available for you with 4-H.
Absolutely. So when I was 14, I got to go to Germany with my high school German class.
I went to Germantown.
I was going to say, my family never traveled. It's just not something that we did. And when you think about traveling with a whole family, it can get really expensive really fast. So travel opportunities through 4-H just open things up. So we have some local travel type things like Discover Wisconsin. That's for those middle graders, like fifth grade through eighth grade. This past summer, we went down to southeastern Wisconsin and just, you know, what is there? Kids saw Lake Michigan for the first time. It was really exciting for them.
Cool.
But then as kids get a little older, actually, space camp happens for like sixth through eighth graders, too. We take them down to Alabama on a bus.
Cool.
It's not great, but it's awesome. And then This November, I'm going to be traveling with a group of high schoolers to Atlanta for the National 4-H Congress. And all of these things, there's more travel opportunities than these two. But again, it's kind of like that camp experience where you're forced into kind of strange environment where you have to figure out how to make friends. You get to challenge yourself and you get to like be the best that you can be. And you get to be that person outside of school and outside of family. You know, who do you really feel like you are on the inside? But I, again, can be really expensive. So we have ways to help make it affordable. So a family can send one family member at a time. And there's ways that we can help support to make that experience affordable.
Yeah. Laura, as we're wrapping up, I know for the new, for the 23-24 season, you're trying to reach new spaces.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So last week, I'm so excited, Melina Caratini started. She is our AmeriCorps member. She's, maybe you recognize the name. She is the daughter of Jackie, who is here often.
Interesting. That's awesome.
She's a freshman at UWSP this year. And so she's going to be helping us build new partnerships and offer new programs. So not necessarily just to the traditional 4-H'ers. Mm-hmm. We're looking for partnerships. Maybe it's after school programs. Maybe it's in school. Maybe it's through our libraries. I'm going to say again, I love our Wood County libraries. But to be able to do some of those hands-on learning opportunities for kids that haven't traditionally been in 4-H, right? Maybe you come for one. Maybe you come for a whole series. But we're just trying to get out there because programs like this, just learning opportunities, make a world of difference for our young people.
And the something like this is also reminds me that anybody out there can be a part of 4-H. Mm-hmm. And anybody could make an impact on 4-H. And that's not just your kids, but individuals. If people want to volunteer or be a part of some of these things, Laura, that we've been talking about today, maybe they just want to find out more information. Or get register, or maybe they're an organization out there like the person you mentioned earlier that would like to offer a skill set or something.
Sure.
Any of the above, how can they reach you?
So easiest way to get a hold of me is probably by phone. The number is 715-421-8439. Or you can email me at Laura, L-A-U-R-A dot Huber, H-U-B as in boy, E-R, at wisc.edu.
And encourage you to check out the webpage 4h.extension.wisc.edu. And if you type into your search bar 4-H Wood County, pops up right away.
Yeah, just get the Wisconsin one, though.
Get the Wisconsin one. That's a good point. Good point. Yeah, otherwise, a lot of traveling. You're going to be traveling very far. I think that one's in Ohio or something like that. Yeah. You're going to be going pretty far. You want the Wisconsin Wood County one. Thank you, Laura. We appreciate you so much. Say hi to your team over there, and we'll talk soon.
Fantastic. Happy 4-H week, everyone.
Happy 4-H week, everybody. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The Biden administration has waived dozens of federal laws to allow construction on the border wall to continue in Texas.
Do you believe the border wall works?
No.
But Mr. Biden says his hands are tied. Congress appropriated the funds back in 2019. CBS's Chris Van Cleve spoke with Sheriff Mark McDaniels in Arizona, who says they need that wall to keep criminals and drugs out.
Cartels don't care about America. They don't care about you and I or anybody else that they're exploiting. They care about that dollar bill and power.
One of your deputies was almost killed last night.
Yeah.
You make you angry?
It pisses me off because we've been talking about this for almost 3 years. I've testified in front of Congress. I've met with anybody that'll listen to us. And every day that goes by, I see another tragedy.
Dianne Feinstein's funeral in San Francisco is now closed to the public due to security threats, but mourners are still stopping by to pay their respects.
Dianne Feinstein was a legend in San Francisco and for the country. She was a pioneer in terms of the work around HIV/AIDS.
Today's society is so conflicted, and she's found a way to create balance and work between different groups that have opposing viewpoints.
Feinstein died last week after serving decades in the Senate. The former USC gynecologist charged with sexually assaulting hundreds of students has been found dead in his home in L.A. George Tyndall was in his mid-70s. He'd been awaiting trial for sexual misconduct. The U.S. has condemned a Russian missile attack that killed more than 50 people in Ukraine. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
Can you imagine just walking to the grocery store with your kids, trying to figure out what is it that you're going to make for dinner, and you see an explosion happen where bodies are everywhere, and it's horrifying.
Thousands of healthcare workers at Kaiser Permanente are back out on picket lines today, demanding higher pay and better staffing. Union rep Caroline Lucas.
They are burnt out. And because the Kaiser staffing levels are so bad, frequently our frontline healthcare workers can't get days off to recover.
Kaiser says it's working to hire more workers. AT&T developed a new football helmet for quarterbacks who are deaf or hard of hearing. Here's CBS's Jim Krasula.
The innovation allows a coach to call a play on a tablet from the sideline that then shows up visually on a small display screen inside the quarterback's helmet. Andrew Bennett is with AT&T.
This is just really opening the door, and what we're hoping is that a lot of people see this and think, hey, I could use this technology for this other thing.
The Powerball jackpot is up to $1.4 billion. It's the game's third largest prize ever. The next drawing, Saturday. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Like any good agent, we're here for the open house, for the closing, for handing over keys. But because we're Realtors, we're here for so much more. Agents who are Realtors volunteer at nearly three times the national average. We're working to broaden access to credit, increase affordable housing supply, and ensure fair housing for all. And Realtors are bound by a code of ethics. We're here for it all.